Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July the 17th, 199th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Arcata City Manager, Randy Mendoza.
Hi, Brian.
You're like a vanishing breed.
Well,
guys have been around for over 6 months.
Well, you won't get any scoop. There's no announcement today.
I'm here. I didn't figure that
I'm staying.
Yeah, if there was, it would probably be accompanied with shotgun.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what's been happening, though, is past city managers just come back as interim city managers somewhere else. And Loretta Nicholas is one. She was part of our management group, and now she's the interim in Fortuna.
Yeah. Our management group. You're saying Arcata?
Well, the managers.
Or the gang.
The gang. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a
gang. Yeah.
We have a, you know, it's, and we allow the CAO to come in too. So we call it our management group. So it's the city managers of Humboldt and Del Norte County, and then the CAOs are part of our group that we meet once a month.
We'll talk perhaps just a wee little bit about that, but also these cities going bankrupt in California. We'll talk about some of the pressures certainly that are there. I think Randy is well-versed in that part of it. But for a city to declare bankruptcy, what is that all about? What does it mean? Is the state going to see more of these or not? We'll find out what at least Randy's crystal ball says when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Napoleon Bonaparte.
The big guy.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's not that tough a quote.
Oh.
Impossible is a word found only in a fool's dictionary.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's impossible.
I love snow cones. Let's stay here. Not one of his more well-embraced and captured quotes.
Maybe it lost something in its translation.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite sound like Napoleon, though.
No, I don't think so either.
there's not enough narcissism in that.
Yeah. In the intro, Randy, you were indicating and sharing about the fact that you got the managers group for the two counties and you guys get together and talk. Is there that much of a distinction between Del Norte and Humboldt County as far as cities, budgets, challenges, et cetera?
Well, I think we have a lot of the same challenges. In fact, I was just in Crescent City on Friday. We had the League of California Cities Redwood Region was hosted by a little conference that was hosted by Crescent City. So we had everybody, including council members from Eureka and all the way down to Cloverdale. And while we were walking downtown in Crescent City, we ran into our sheriff. So he was up there as well.
Lost or chasing someone?
Well, I think he was up there for a meeting as well.
Oh, okay. Because Mike wasn't here.
Correct. So he was in
last week. So I, yeah.
He was in Del Norte for a meeting. I think they had a meeting with other sheriffs, but it was interesting because we were in a big group kind of doing a tour, and we ran right into him.
What was the most impressive thing for you about Crescent City today?
You know, their revamped swimming pool was really impressive. They've redone their swimming pool, and it's beautiful, and everything along the front street there, which I think they're kind of bandering around whether they should call that Tsunami Way, but that's a discussion that's going on up there. Which
serious?
Well, you know, it could be a
wake zone.
It could be a tourist getter. The proponents think it could be a tourist getter, and then some folks feel like it's
probably
not appropriate.
Wouldn't do a lot for the residents living across the street.
Well, I don't know, but I just have to say that we really enjoyed ourselves, and Crescent City was a great host, and we had a great dinner, and we did some touring and learned how they respond to their emergencies up there. Del Norte's very excellent on their emergency preparedness.
You didn't get one of the lighthouse tours, did you?
That was one of the tours, but we couldn't do them all at one time. But they did offer. We went out to one of the lighthouses, but we'd have to walk.
Yeah, Battery
through the
Point.
Water.
I didn't think that they'd take you to St. George.
Yeah, right.
That would be the one I wanted.
But I would, yeah. Yes. In the Crescent City helicopter, right?
Yes, yeah, that would be the fire district helicopter, right?
Do they have one?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Crescent City.
We had last week San Bernardino.
Yes.
Week before that, Stockton, and who's the third?
It was Mammoth. Was it Mammoth Lakes? Something like that. One of those small
or Big
cities.
Big Bear or something.
Was it Big Bear? One of those small cities up in the hills.
Declaring bankruptcy. Now, it's interesting for me because I know most people don't know what bankruptcy means. They know what the connotation is. Doors closed, lights off, locks across the door.
Right.
It's over.
Can't do that if you're a city.
So what does bankruptcy for a city that can't close its doors mean?
Well, if I understand it right, and of course I haven't studied a lot on this because I don't need to, but I believe that these municipalities are filing under Chapter 9, which allows them to reorganize and to pay off a fraction of their debt and to get a fresh start.
Randy, as you look at what the city is doing and the lack of need for this, for reorganization, or for how much debt does Arcata have? Or indebtedness, I think, is probably the more polite term.
Well, before I answer that question, just let me clarify, because I don't think people understand what happened, and I can give you a brief thing, what I understand it happened in Stockton and in San Bernardino. For instance, Stockton had a large sports arena and a big hotel that they built, and it didn't work. You know, no one came to it, and then they had the housing bubble pop. It was the perfect storm for Stockton. And San Bernardino, from what preliminary information that's coming out, is they had a long history of perhaps not recognizable fiscal procedures, and I think that they were the way they handled their accounting was irregular. So that is not happen up here. I mean, what we do, for instance, Arcata, as an example, we just started with new auditors. You know, we got along well with the last auditors, and we just started with new auditors just to keep it honest,
clean, above reproach. Isn't that what they say?
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, before the break, you were kind of outlining what other cities in California who have opted to be bankrupt or to file for bankruptcy have done. Exceptional events might
yes.
be kind of under that heading.
Yes.
What is the benefit for them to file? Protection from debtors?
Well, they have no cash to pay. I think San Bernardino wasn't going to be able to make their payroll. They were down to their last $100,000 in their city budget. So they had no cash to pay their debts.
You could see this train wreck coming from a mile away, though. I mean, if it gets to that kind of a situation.
And Stockton's I knew somebody that worked for the city of Stockton, and that train wreck has been on the horizon for 3 or 4 years. You know, at least when he was there, they were having those problems. So it's not something that just sneaks up, from what I hear.
Okay, so if it doesn't sneak up, that means it's no surprise. If that means that there's no surprise, somebody should have seen it coming. Somebody didn't see it coming? I would think that there is...
Well, I think they saw that coming, but they didn't have a way to fix it. And it just depends, you know, and you're trying to keep a level of service. I don't have a lot of the details, you know, the fine details.
Well, let's step it back then. Let's say, just for tabletop exercises, which you guys like to do, tabletop exercise.
Yes.
that we have a city about the size of Arcata. Percentages in each of the departments are about the same size. Okay. And you had this hotel that had been put in that had encumbered the city, and it wasn't working out. I can't imagine that you, in that scenario, or anybody in that scenario, wouldn't start scrambling and doing absolutely everything possible to keep things going.
Yeah, I'm
just
sure.
Professional embarrassment
certainly
would be enough to make that happen. Call in experts, bring in people from all over the place, try to do something to make this thing not go away, but become manageable.
Right.
Is that the normal protocol? I mean, if something really happened and things dropped out of the budget for Arcata, wouldn't you be looking to do things along those lines?
Well, we would, but the Arcata way, and I can only assume that's what other cities, if they aren't doing it, they should be, and that is the open public, you know, everything's done in the open, and you talk with your community, and you have study sessions, and I know folks that are trying to do projects, that is a big hurdle when you're trying to do a project, but that is what happens for municipalities. It's a very open public process. It's the Sunshine Laws of California. So that is how we would handle that, I'm sure, if we were in that position, is that we would just be upfront with the public, and we would have study sessions, and we would work with the voters to take the best course.
How much lead time or working time would it take if you had to turn the ship 10 degrees? Say, so 10% out of whack. How much time would it take for that to be processed through, not in a panic-stricken mode, but in a timely fashion? Could you get 10% less in 2 years, 3 years?
It's the Arcata city policy. We keep 20% in reserves. And this year we did have... We did have to use some reserves to balance our budget, but we are a little over 15%, close to 16% in reserves. So, yes, that is what those reserves are for when the unexpected times, downturns in the economy, such as we have been experiencing.
The buffering of things.
Right.
With this current fiscal year budget that was passed, does that pack fill that 4 plus 20 for this year? Does that bring contingency funds back up to 20%?
Yes, it will. I mean, we're very, you know, you can say, I just finished speaking at the Kiwanis Club, and I use this phrase, and I'll say it again. Arcata may be a liberal city politically, but when it comes to fiscal matters, Arcata is very conservative. And I think that each of our council members would agree with that, because I've said it in public, and they've always nodded their heads. So we're very conservative when it comes to the budget and fiscal matters, because really that is one of the most important functions of a municipal government. If you can't pay your bills, you're not delivering the services, and you quickly lose the trust of the public. And quite honestly, our integrity and the public trust is the only item that we have to sell.
Yeah, because most of it isn't a sell. It's more of a do.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's my retail background coming through.
Oh, I see. I just got peeked up just a little bit there, caught a little fresh air, and dove right back down. Huh?
Right.
Yeah. Is there anything down the road that could cause Arcata to be in tough financial situations?
Yeah, the Sacramento could do all sorts of things that could create problems for Arcata, as well as all the other cities in California.
Well, I guess that would be the next thing we talk about then. What's going on in Sacramento? KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, as you look at some of the different challenges that the state is looking at. You mentioned before that if Arcata could be in a tough situation, if things happened at the state. Okay. I don't sense, in talking with other city managers, and maybe you guys had something magical on Friday, but I don't sense that the state has its act together. And they're talking about this bullet train. Yeah. $20 billion. We're in the hole, $20 billion. They think somebody's just going to decide that, you know, bond measure at what, a D-minus rating or whatever the low ball. It seems like they're still operating in this little vacuum. As a city manager, I would be extraordinarily concerned about that.
Yeah, and I have to be fair and say I haven't read many articles to see where that funding is going to come from, but if any of that bullet train money comes from the general fund, I would think that would be disastrous. We have cities that can't even hire police officers. I think Oakland, for instance, has laid off 40 or 50 police officers, and you know, they're closing fire stations. And if you know, those are, I think that, but I don't know whether the bullet train money is out of the general fund or not. But those are the questions to ask when you're looking at projects like that.
Let's say it's out of state transportation funds or you know, other things that would be normal, logical. What are they thinking about? I mean, I would think that regardless whether it's throwing asphalt down or starting to plan something like this, just the perception of this thing is kind of a sore subject, let alone the actual implementation of this.
I just don't know, and it kind of shows that that discussion doesn't get talked around in the true Northern California because, you know, our area really isn't going to benefit by it. It's between what a lot of people say is Northern California, which is San Francisco Bay Area. But to us, I think that behind the Redwood Curtain is the true Northern California.
Well, redevelopment funds were nailed by the state. It seems as if there's no hesitation to go after any monies that are around. What does it mean? What did it mean this budget cycle for Arcata to lose those redevelopment dollars?
Oh, for long term, it's catastrophic. You know, the reason that Arcata has dodged the budget shortfall bullet is because redevelopment projects that were put in place back in the 70s and 80s, such as the Alder Grove Industrial Park, if you go out there, it's a small city. And there are a lot of well-paid jobs out there, and that's an economic engine that was put in place mainly because of redevelopment. It takes over lands such as you know that no one else can build on them. Old mill sites
the old
that
mill
are contaminated.
Site, yeah.
It truly the way we used it in Arcata was truly to address blight, and we created jobs and created a vibrant economic engine. Now that's gone. And I don't know what the next generations are going to do to keep that engine going. I think it was very short-sighted.
Is there any recognition either through our electeds or at the state level through the lobbying efforts that the cities have done about redevelopment and what it has meant and what it will mean to the local governmental entities?
I can't speak for them other than I know that they made their decisions and I think it was pretty clear that they weren't going to change their minds. So I think we kind of got to the point we'd agree to disagree.
So they were expecting the blowback, and they got it.
Yeah, and I think that they're trying to make a compromise somewhere. But I can't speak for them. It's very disappointing that these valuable funds that they. I just want to say, too, that redevelopment funds were not properly used in many areas of California. So that could have been fixed. You know, they could have tightened it up. They could have given less amounts of money. But those funds are so important for local business, developing local businesses and for your economic infrastructures. There's nothing else out there right now on the horizon that is anywhere near it.
Are you concerned at all? Are there any other areas that you're hearing whispers that the state might be also looking to take revenues from local jurisdictions?
The last I heard was that there was a, I think it was a, I'm not mistaken, it was a small amount, $20 million, that was earmarked for areas to deal with some of the realignment problems, you know, that would, and what that basically in a nutshell is that they're letting people out of the prisons earlier and bringing them back to the local counties or keeping more inmates in the counties. And it kind of puts more nonviolent, quote unquote, felons out on our streets. And this would be something that would help communities deal with that. I heard the latest scoop is that that may not get funded, but they're out on recess now and they're not going to come back until August. So I think that we're still standing by to wait to see what's going to happen.
Obviously, that impacts the county. Does that impact the cities directly?
You know, I don't know because I'm not sure what that money was going to be eligible to be used for. I mean, I just recently caught a briefing. That was part of our Crescent City meeting on Friday, is that our representative from the League of Cities was talking about that.
One way or another, we'll find out. There are so many different things that are out there swirling around that it's got to be a challenge just trying to keep abreast with all this stuff. Is that 10% of your day, trying to figure out or to find out what happened, try to figure out what might happen?
Oh, sure, yeah. And that's why, well, just the good segue is the League of California Cities is such an important program for cities to be aware of because those folks are really literally full-time. In fact, there's been some critical votes that have taken place where they actually have a league staffer outside the conference room where the voting is taking place, and they're taking pictures of who votes for what, and that gets blasted out to us, so we know instantly who voted yay and who voted nay.
Accountability is tough sometimes.
It really is, but those folks have been very instrumental in helping cities get through this. I don't know how we could have done it without them.
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with our Arcata City Manager, Randy Mendoza. Summertime, we're kind of in the middle of it. Historically, we would be talking about all these wonderful paving projects.
Yes.
All the sewer updates and da-da-da-da-da and the booming construction. And we heard that there was a little bit of paving going on out at the old mill site.
Erickson Way was recently paved.
That's going on. Have you been able to continue with some of the paving and the other infrastructure projects in spite of some of these challenges?
Oh yeah, yes. Every year we have several paving projects, infrastructure, sidewalks. There's several this year as well, and again that's thanks to the Measure G that the voters of Arcata passed, adding a substantial amount to the general fund to do those projects.
So what's the next newest, coolest, greatest thing?
Well, that's
road paving or sidewalks. I mean, things that we'll be able to see stuff.
Well, the big part, it's the stuff you don't see, which is the big problem. It's the infrastructure. It's the stuff underneath. And those are the things that the biggest problem, one of the top priority, I think, right now in Arcata is the inflow and infiltration, I&I. And that is a very high water table, and we have old pipes, and it's seeping into our sewer pressure lines and our laterals, and our treatment plant, especially during the rainy season, quadruples the amount of water that goes through there, and it limits the size of our city, so future development, et cetera. So we need to fix this I&I, and we need to dig up streets, and we need to fix those leaky pipes so that we could use our treatment plant to its optimum.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it a fix-up of the branches, or is it attack the plant and build capacity at the big end and then build towards that?
I think both. You know, I'm very pleased to say that Arcata just got its NPDES permit, you know, that went through the Regional Water Quality Control Board, which means it took us 5 years to negotiate a license with them for another 5-year permit. And this is one of the first things that when I came into the city manager's
office. So you're
up to
being late?
We're up to being late. And we have a permit now, and we've added some treatment marshes. And so, we're very pleased. That's a big, big deal for us, believe it or not, to have that finally through. And so that's certainly a component. But the big part of the INI is something that we can really that's probably more time going into that than building a bigger plant to any extent, major extent.
So by saying building capacity, that implies that there's some inefficiencies that are in place now because of some of these leaks and the backflow and,
right,
and that kind of stuff. Is that the least expensive fix, or is that a fix that's part of the progression to make this thing really what it needs to be?
Well, it's part of the progression, and we could still accommodate, you know, we could accommodate factories, for instance, you know, if someone wanted to bring in a large water-consuming factory. But at the current situation, they would need to have to pre-treat their affluent, which, you know, means that we can't do it all at our plant, but they would have to send us some cleaner water down the pipe. So that's a possibility, and that may be the thing of the future instead of building huge plants. You know, if you have large contributors that they're going to have to pre-treat.
Oh, that's a show for a different time. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Thanks, Brian.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.